Welcome to the 160th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by the one, the only, Midsummering Mark Davis.
I'm coming in with that. That oh Superman energy.
There it is. Yep. Laurie Anderson.
That's her. That's it.
Laurie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson was an actress.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
And not to be confused with Louie Anderson, the comedian.
The Family Feud host and comedian from Baskets and many more.
Yep.
And who do we got over here?
We got the lovely Kyle Ann, my wife.
Goodness.
Welcome, babe.
Hello, babe.
No. It's been about 10 episodes. You were on for 150 for the Rate My Question episode with Seth. Mm. And past couple weeks, you've been dropping some hints to me like, hey, I've got some good questions ready.
I do. Yep. I got a whole bunch of really good questions.
We had to make some room here on the couch.
Ooh, yep. As I think I've mentioned in previous episodes, you know, every time I see a fun fact somewhere while I'm doing writing regular trivia questions, I'm like, that's a good one. And then I write it down. And now I just have a whole bunch that are really good.
Yeah. I mean, you've been writing a ton of questions lately between Pointy Bell, Ollie's, Twitch, mainly Twitch, but you've been filling in the gaps as well,
you know,
as we get busy.
Your girl's been going off.
Mm-hmm. And we are looking forward to August arriving in mid-September.
Yep, 2 more months now.
Oh.
We're getting the house all rearranged. Mark, you can describe it. What do we got going on over here?
Well, it's hard to describe if you've never been to Lee's house. We have a complete transformation of the living and dining rooms.
Mm-hmm.
The dining room is where the living room was and vice versa.
So now you walk into the living room instead of the dining room.
It has a Cribs feel.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
He's like, welcome to my crib. You walk in, it's like, boom, couch,
now there's TV. A TV and a couch there.
Yeah, they're hiding their wires.
We're hiding the wires.
They're hiding the wires,
baby proofing.
Mm-hmm.
Baby proof. I might have to hire my wires. Even though I don't have a baby coming, why not hide the wires?
Hide them. It's nice. It's like living in a hotel.
We'll have to see if my house loan goes through.
And of course, we've got the baby room coming together as well. Of course,
come together.
Got that crib up.
Get that crib up.
How's house stuff going?
House stuff
any
is
movement?
You know what? do you feel it kicking?
I do.
It's going. I actually called them today and I was like, just making sure everything's going okay. I sent my stuff and I haven't heard anything. And she's like, there's stuff going on behind the scenes. I don't need anything from you right now because I'm so nervous now. I think this may have been on Lyrics to Go that I mentioned that there was 2 weeks where I didn't call them or anything, and then I finally called them and I was like, sorry if I'm being annoying, and they were like, actually, we lost all your information.
Yeah.
And I had to give them everything, but they pre-approved me the same day.
Yeah, they like kept you on the phone and were like, we're doing it right
now. Yeah. And from there, everything has been going pretty quickly, pretty smoothly. I'm in the processing
phase. Stay on them though,
phase.
Man, I'm telling you. I use the same company and I'm the same bank.
I know, I'm telling you.
And like our past guest, Stevie Wildcard from the We Have Issues podcast, he recently tweeted that he's doing a refi through them and it's taking forever. And I'm like, man, that.
Been there.
Bear in there.
Luckily for me, I have... not all the time in the world, but I've got some time. So, So hopefully everything goes smoothly. I think August 20-somethingth is supposed to be my closing
date.
All right. All sorts of adult stuff going on over there.
We're such adults.
Now, we are recording this episode a little earlier in the week, so we're not going to do our weekly wrap-up this week. We're going to save those scores for next week. We'll do a double weekly wrap-up.
While you're listening to this episode, I'm lounging on a couch at Tim and Joey's house.
Mm-hmm.
Outside Lucky. Of Camden, Maine. Oh, gonna
watching
wake up
the snowfall in mid-July.
It's a great
Maine,
time
right?
to Maine.
Yeah, there's no snow in Maine in July. No,
okay, all right.
There is Christmas in July, maybe, but I'll be playing hopefully some trivia up there at the place that we usually play.
You gotta get a guest host thing going on, man. Ooh. Just go grab that mic.
Yeah, maybe I'll bring my laptop and see
You're
if I can't get that that guy, that the British guy or whatever, Irish guy. Remember, we talked about having him on.
You could do a little maybe on location quiz with him. If I don't know. It's up to you.
Hey, we'll see what happens.
But in lieu of the weekly wrap up, we are still going to go over our calendar. So let's hit that jazz music. We've got a few opportunities for you to join us for trivia this week.
Hmm.
First, tonight, Monday, July 26th, we're back on Twitch with another mega quiz based on your category requests. Join us for a 90-minute general knowledge multiple choice quiz, which will include audio and visual rounds. That's tonight, Monday, July 26th at twitch.tv/no-nonsense-trivia. This Wednesday, July 28th, we're at Point Ebel Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for our 335th pub quiz. We'll be asking questions based on our players' category requests. Join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. That's at Point Ebel Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida, Wednesday, July 28th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. On Thursday, we return to Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral for No Nonsense Trivia Challenge number 336. That's at 7:30 p.m. as well. We hope you can join us. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursday, July 29th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And of course, every week in Cape Coral, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesday nights at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom. That starts at 8 p.m. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us, won't you?
Wow, yeah. Lee looks so unsurprised. He's just like, yeah, of course that happened.
No, I was concentrating on just holding the note. I was like, ooh, this sounds good. Don't do anything. Just hold this note.
I was locked in. May I also just say, I guess I'll be playing trumpet on an album that is coming out, an EP or
album. Oh, cool. What's that called? You know?
I'm not sure the name of it, but it's Slim Gillian.
Oh,
he's local, good.
Yes, very, like very good.
Guitar player.
Yeah, maybe we got to see about having him on. He's fantastic. He's a very wonderful, affable guy.
Cool.
Asked me to come out and play some horns with him, so I did that. It was a blast.
Yeah, we like listening to him. Sometimes we go out to Rosie Tomorrow's Farm
to eat,
and he's gigging out
there. Yeah, he's good.
Providing the ambiance. Very nice. All right, let's take a little bit of a break before we get to our first round of trivia with Kyle Ann.
And we're back. It's my turn. So I get to say when we start. You understand?
Go for it. Yeah, I understand.
The home market oriented 8mm and Super 8 formats were developed by what company?
You would know this better than me.
8mm and Super 8?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's just
Sony?
Kodak.
So yeah, it's possible. I always associate Kodak with still photography less than movies, but I can see them maybe.
What about Fujifilm?
Yeah, it could be Fujifilm.
I feel like they do.
I was just starting to come around on Kodak, so now it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess it could be. Let's see here. Magnavox. Did they do film?
Maybe.
Polaroid. Not Polaroid.
No, I don't think it's Polaroid.
Betamax.
Betamax. There's one I'm thinking of that I would like. Maybe it is. I'm just trying to think of, like, at the end, the credits. Of, like, you know, the film
credits.
Yeah, like, and there's like the logo at the very
Technicolor.
End. Technicolor. I'm trying to think of like one that I would find
in Technicolor.
Like an old movie. That's a movies. Process. Like though. I used to watch like the ET VHS all the way to the end to the credits because I really
that was not shot on 8mm though.
It was not. Was no, it?
8mm and Super 8 were mostly like home movie formats.
Okay.
Like it was meant, it was like a consumer.
Well, if it's a consumer, mostly consumer film medium, then it would probably be like a Kodak or like, I'm trying to think of like, what was it? The one started with an M?
Magnavox or
I feel like there was another.
Minolta.
Yeah,
can we get the question one more time?
Yeah, I gotta find it. I'm looking around for other questions that I don't think I've asked before. The home market oriented 8mm and Super 8 formats were developed by what company?
Let's go with Eastman Kodak. I mean,
yeah,
they're the big players.
Yeah.
It's just like we have a better chance of guessing that than anything
Let's
else.
Let's just go with Kodak.
Kodak.
Kodak is correct.
Hey!
Great job, y'all.
Nice. Yeah, I was
Dream
first
team.
I was trying to think of the cameras themselves. That's why I said Sony. But then, yeah, Kodak makes total sense. And they would make the format and then other companies would enter the market to make cameras to operate the film format. So. Nice.
Yeah.
Thanks, babe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My first question is, let's keep it with the video. We'll go with film criticism.
Okay.
Film criticism. Named after the comics writer and artist who first defined it, which test checks for if a movie features at least one scene having two female characters talking about something other than a man?
Why do you ask this question?
Well, we've never talked about this on the podcast
before. But this
before.
Is like something I constantly talk about, so you know I would know the answer to this question.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
well, first question's always easy.
It's a okay. first, yeah, it's an opening question, you know? I mean, geez.
And I know
I can
this.
Ask you something harder if you
it
want.
It doesn't pop right into my brain, but it's something with an M, right?
No, it's the Bechdel
test. Bechdel
test,
that's
it. And it's actually the Bechdel test. There's a lot of different variations of the Bechdel test. Some people think that in order to pass the Bechdel test, it just needs to have more than one leading lady. And there's
that's
some,
not but the definition on the original comic though.
No.
That she had defined this in.
Yes,
in
which the, is Dykes to watch out for.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 1985
and
strip.
So the actual Bechdel test is that there has to be more than one lead female character and they need to have at least one conversation, like you said, that is not about a man, or they're not talking about a man. And that's actually an observation that I made about the most recent Marvel movie, Black Widow, that they're portraying it as being like this like very female centric, female driven story. But that movie does not pass the Bechdel test because literally all the conversations that go on between the two lead female characters are about a man.
Yeah. Mm. There's actually, I don't know if this is a factoid, but it's said that Titanic is the highest grossing movie of all time that passes the Bechdel test. There are two movies above that that in terms of like revenue, which would be Avengers Endgame and Avatar. And I guess Avatar clearly does not. There's some dispute whether or not Avengers Endgame does, because there's Nebula and Gamora have conversation about being sisters, but at the same time, it's always under the specter of Thanos.
Yes.
So I don't know. There's some dispute there. But the reason that I brought this up is because I noticed you have two lists on your Letterboxd account, one of which is movies that I've watched that have passed the Bechdel test. And the other one is movies that my husband and daughter made me watch that I hate.
Yep.
I just think that's a fun pair of lists here.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you're on Letterboxd, you can add Kylie in. She's got an account. I've got one at Breshnida. Mark, are you on Letterboxd?
I'm not.
You should get one, man.
It's okay.
You like documentaries and stuff, you know? It's like a social media network for movies.
Yo.
Get on there, man.
That Roadrunner documentary, Cry City.
I bet. Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
That documentary is so damn good. Holy shit. If you're interested at all in him, it is worth trying out.
But as I mentioned, a warning. If you see this movie, the Bourdain movie with the AI-generated voice, his ghost is going to visit you in the night and steal your taste buds.
Yeah, I haven't tasted anything for a while. I also had a really bad cough.
Oh, yeah. No.
So be warned. It might be worth it. He says it's a good movie, though.
Yeah, it was a COVID joke there. This is in bad taste or no taste, am I right?
Okay. I see what you did there.
Kyle.
All right, let's keep it with
oh no, more film.
Yeah, we're gonna keep it in the film genre.
I should have mixed it up.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Which actor and comedian worked as a beautician in his sister's salon and was planning on going to cosmetology school to become a makeup artist before landing a role in the off-Broadway production of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a role he reprised in the 1975 movie?
You said actor and comedian?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Jack Nicholson. Is he a comedian?
No, I don't think so. God, it's been so long since I've seen one.
I feel like he tries to do comedy sometimes, but nobody ever notices that it's comedy. Like, he's like, oh, yeah. In As Good As It Gets, I was just playing a Laugh Riot character.
He doesn't ever try to be funny, yeah. But he is in a lot of contexts.
I want the chicken salad sandwich, but without the chicken or that's whatever the right. Fuck he says.
What the fuck? God, serial killer energy.
Hey, don't blame us. Blame old Jack.
I am.
I blame Kubrick.
Have you seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Long time ago, like high school. Yeah. Like
I'm in the same 15, boat. 20 very, years ago. Very many years ago.
There's Nurse Ratchet.
There's
Jack Nicholson.
There's Chief.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who rips the water thing out of the thing and throws it through the window.
Mm-hmm.
And goes running off into the distance. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And who is there that's funny? It's a guy.
And you said he was going to be a makeup artist?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like a cosmetologist, not like a special effects makeup artist.
No, a cosmetologist.
Hmm. 1975.
I think the play was 1971 or 73. I actually didn't write that down, but the movie was 75.
Okay, that's fine, yeah. Early to mid-70s. Shit, man.
Did Bill Murray have a sister? Sorry, can we hear the question one more time? There's a lot of details. Is this his debut?
Yeah, this would not get a PIBS.
This...
the look.
This I believe, was his first film credit.
Okay, it's not Bill Murray.
Which actor and comedian worked as a beautician in his sister's salon and was planning on going to cosmetology school to become a makeup artist before landing a role in the off-Broadway production of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a role he reprised in the 1975 movie?
Lee's already rewriting this question in his mind to make it shorter.
I think all that information's interesting and necessary.
You definitely get the I in the PIBS, but I wouldn't get the S.
Robin You'd get Williams?
A PIB. You know, I was thinking maybe Robin Williams.
Mr. Mime? The guy who was the mime? He was a mime in Central Park.
God. You hate him?
I don't hate him.
I am right there with you.
I'm not a big fan.
Me either. And people think I'm crazy, but he annoys me.
He is so annoying.
He's so annoying.
Happy birthday, Robin Williams. It's his birthday this week.
Every time I see him on like a talk show, he's like, oh, what if I was over here and you're over there? And I'm like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And he's like, oh, that's right.
And everybody's losing their mind. And I'm like, not
yet. Please stop talking.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
And then he stopped talking.
Wow.
Wow, Mark.
He does with his mouth what Chris Farley does with his body. It's just everywhere all the time.
Yeah. Though I like Chris Farley.
Yeah, but it's a different style.
It is.
A different style.
Like
Chris Farley just cartwheeling down the stairs.
It's like, man, someone, Bronson Pinchot?
Hmm. From Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
What's the Russian guy?
Oh, Yakov Smirnoff?
Yeah.
Could be him. What a weird pull.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking of like 70s comedians now, you know?
Andrew Dice Clay.
More 80s.
Andrewd Eyes Clay. Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about his first movie role. I mean, like, he could have had the small bit part.
Chevy Chase. Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal's.
As far I don't, it's been so long since I've seen this movie, but I'm pretty sure it's his role was kind of reduced quite a bit for the movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
but he's there and it's a bit part.
I remember seeing it and being like, oh wow, but I can't remember who it was. I was like, Owen Wilson, wow. It's his first film role. Wow. He's great.
Mm.
Working with Jack Nicholson. Wow.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
You're building it up.
I'm working on it. I don't know, man. We're just sussing into nonsense. Let's go with, you want to go with Bronson Pinchot?
No, I don't think it's him. That would be, that would be a very
John Cusack. He's not a comedian.
No.
Someone that does stand-up comedy and also does
Dave Chappelle.
Someone,
he's three.
When you, I don't, when you say comedian, do you mean like comedian comedian or like funny comedian?
I was
like
gonna, actor, I was just about to, actor. I was just gonna say that I'm actually not sure if he's ever done stand, I'm sure he has throughout the course of right. his career,
but he's more a funny actor.
Yes.
Okay.
Rick Moranis.
Sure. Let's go Tim with Rick Curry. Moranis. Sure. Let's go with Tim Curry. No, Tim Curry, I think, has done something. No.
75. When did Rocky Horror come out?
70s, right around yeah. there.
That'd be a pretty big jump to go in a year, like from a bit part in One Flew to leading.
Yeah, and the thing is like,
I'm just trying to think of theater,
people
though.
That, yeah, like people that, I mean, I'm just kind of thinking that people that were doing like, Second City and Groundlings and stuff mm-hmm. probably weren't like going to cosmetology school
because
they were putting all their chips in that. You know, it's almost something like a Harrison Ford thing where it's like,
let's do Tim Curry. I mean,
okay.
There's a lot of drag in, you know, Rocky Horror and sure. doing makeup and stuff like that. It's a theater show. So he's doing other theater shows.
Okay.
Reprising the role in the movie.
We're going to see Tim Curry.
Sorry, that's incorrect. So the correct answer is Danny DeVito.
Oh yeah, he is in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
He played
Nest.
Martini.
God oh damn
my
it!
Gosh. Yeah.
So he worked at in his sister's salon. He was a beautician, and he had so much fun, just like, you know, making all the ladies laugh in the salon, that it started getting the wheels turning. He's like, I really want to go to improv school. And this time he was saving up money to go to cosmetology school to become a makeup artist. And at the last second, he was like, I'm going to pay for improv classes instead. And then like a few months later, he landed that role in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wow. Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Woof. In which fictional city does King of the Hill take place?
Oh my God. I have no idea. We started watching it a little bit a few months ago. And I'm kind of like, I think I just like missed it.
See, Lee's making the face that I can never read, which is he calm as a Hindu cow because he knows, or is he calm as a Hindu cow because he's trying to think?
Both.
Yeah.
I think I know, basically. Okay. I think I know. I believe it's Arlen, Texas, the fictional town of Arlen.
If that sounds correctly. Very familiar.
Mark?
That's correct.
All right.
Nice.
Doing well so far.
All right. Okay. Baked treats. Baked treats are category here. Yeah, Kyle's been making some baked treats over the past couple weeks. You've enjoyed Mark coming
baked
over
treats
for a podcast.
The best chocolate chip cookie I've ever had.
That's true.
I think there might be another treat in your future tonight, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Did you set something aside? What do you got loaded up for Mark here?
I have two options.
Oh, gotta get choices.
Yeah. Jesus.
The menu at Casa de Brushnida.
Seriously.
Dessert menu. What do we got? What's on the deck?
Well, one of them is a, it's like a s'mores cookie bar. So it's like layers of cookie, and on the inside is chocolate and marshmallow fluff. And then I also have brownies, and the brownies are like the best brownie recipe I've ever made.
This is the life I live, folks. This is my environment. It's amazing. Baked treats, my category for you. What Greek savory spinach and feta pie is encased with phyllo pastry on the base and top?
Well, that's obviously spanakopita.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's spinach and feta with phyllo dough.
Okay.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, yeah. That's my final answer.
That is right. That's absolutely correct. Yep. Spanakopita. Spanakopita, I think. Spanakopita is the correct pronunciation there. Believed to be derived from the region of Epirus in the northwest of Greece. Mark, have you ever had this, or does your fear of cheese just kind of push you away? You don't like feta, right?
No, I don't like feta, and I don't really like spinach very much.
Ooh.
Spinach, non-cooked spinach is okay, like on a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Non-cooked spinach on a Sammy.
Okay.
I'll do.
But not cooked.
Nah.
No. Can you remember slimy. The name of the answer to this question?
Spanakopita?
Yes. Spanakopita. I didn't. Sometimes when your partner knows the answer, at least for me, I just erase it instantly. The information not record.
I know I've seen that word before too. So yeah,
Kyle's just on our game tonight.
Oh yeah, well it's.
But we do need another question.
We do need a last question.
Oh, it's my turn again.
Yes, yeah, so you're not that on the game. But
okay,
yeah.
let me pull it. Let me just pull it up then for you. It's actually I have a cooking question. Let's keep in that cooking theme.
We're just on the same level here.
It's films, yeah.
Cooking.
It's like we're married or right. something. Okay. Eye of newt is an outdated term. For what popular ingredient used by alchemists and herbalists of the past and is still used today in modern cooking?
Eye of newt.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you said I am newt.
I am newt.
Like from I am aliens.
Newt. Like I am Groot. You were
gonna say from aliens.
From I am newt. And a mixture of that and Guardians of the Galaxy.
If you remember,
I am newt.
If you remember, that was one of the ingredients in the witches scene. Can we get in Macbeth. One more? Yes, you want to read me read again?
I was thinking Hocus Pocus. One more, Macbeth.
Eye of newt is an outdated term for what popular ingredient used by alchemists and herbalists of the past, and is still used today in modern cooking.
So there's something you're using today to cook. And it used to be called Eye of Newt.
Is that mm-hmm. weird? I mean, are you sure something worse? Well, it says it's still used by who? Herbalists and what?
It was used by alchemists. Herbalists and alchemists, but it's still used in cooking today.
Okay.
And it was and I was going to say there's that scene in Macbeth with the witches and they're like talking about different ingredients.
Bubble, toil, and
yes,
trouble.
Yes, and that was one of the ingredients they mentioned was Eye of a Newt and...
And then they rhyme with bubble.
Yep.
So annoying.
Shakespeare.
Bubble, toil and trouble, something, 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 bubble. It's like, will you stop saying just bubble?
I thought it was, well, it is a rhyme, but isn't it bubble, toil and trouble, fire, burn and cauldron, bubble?
Yes.
So yeah. it's a bubble
it's
at
like
the beginning.
Bubble, trouble, bubble.
Yeah. Yeah. Bubble, trouble, bubble.
Ugh, there's an episode name.
Bubble, bobble. The retro video game. You ever play Bubble Bobble?
I remember
Toil and Trouble.
I remember Bobble.
Boggle.
Boggle.
Boggle. That's it. Bubble yeah. Bobble is bubble, a bubble. Different thing. It's different than Boggle. Anyways.
I'm tired.
Eye of the Newt.
Talking about Boogie
Bubble. What ingredient, what modern cooking
rubber baby
ingredient
buggy bumpers
is Eye
allspice?
Of the Newt? Allspice? Allspice?
I like pronouncing allspice, allspice. I have to do that for a mispronounced word.
Yeah. He's workshopping it here, but you can see the final version on his Instagram account, mispronounced words. I like too the title that you put on there. It's like mispronounced words, like a lady,
MS,
an unmarried yes. lady, mispronounced words.
Yes.
Funny stuff.
Good times. Ha ha.
Capers look kind of like little eyes.
Ooh, capers.
What is a caper?
It's the little thing inside of an olive.
Oh, I thought it was like a mysterious adventure.
Is a caper? Is a caper a pimento?
No.
Okay.
No,
I don't. Yeah.
Pimentos. I mean, pimentos in olives look like little eyeballs. But is that I feel like that's like a modern like food thing. You know, the pimento putting it in an olive. Are they doing that back in the day? They're probably just like, oh, there's a pit inside. That's what you get. You don't get a pimento. There's a pit. Pit-mento. Spit that shit out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're not a king. You don't get pimento stuffed olives.
You don't get pimento loaf. A loaf of pimento
meat. It does look
meat.
Like a little eye, though. This is what we're going on here.
Eye of Well, Newt. I mean, I'm trying to think of something that can be, that would be used in cauldron work.
Did you say if it was an herb or anything?
No, I did not.
You didn't.
I said ingredient.
Could be anything.
Could be anything.
I'm just thinking a caper. Caper looks like a little eyeball. A little dot.
You know, people can make that water dripping sound.
I was so jealous of kids and
stuff. I can't do that. I tried so hard.
I can't whistle with my fingers and I can't.
Whoa! Did I just do it?
Yes!
After like not being able to do it.
All you gotta do is get knocked up and then you can do it.
Like maybe. Or maybe. I just did it again! What the hell?
After new talent!
After years
new
of
new talent!
After years of being so mad at myself for not being
I can't
able
believe to- I can't go bweep. I'm like, oh my god, it sounds like some water just fucking dripped in the other room. Can't believe I can't do this thing I just did.
What the fuck?
Now I'm mad.
Maybe it's because I'm fat now. So that's
like- I've been fat for a long time and I can't do it, so
let's go with capers.
We're gonna go with caper.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So you're kind of on the right track there. The correct answer is mustard seed.
Oh,
no.
So there's, I have a
motherfucker.
I'm just going to read from this.
Shame has
motherfucker. I'm just going to read from this article to explain the whole thing behind it. Well, not the whole article, but a little blurb. I'm not going to bore you guys. Witches were specifically careful to guard their herbal secrets. They came up with odd and grisly sounding folk names for the plants they regularly used, like Eye of Newt for mustard seed or Wool of Bat for moss. Many historians believe that witches used these gruesome sounding names so that their spells and herbal remedies could not be easily copied.
Genius, the original 11 herbs and spices.
Damn. Right,
so like an eye of newt, like newt mm-hmm. was code for mustard, and then eye meant the seed. And mm-hmm. like if you said like the head of something, it meant like the blossom.
I meant a blowjob.
So it's, yeah, so it was just code.
Nice. Well, bro, tomorrow code. For lunch, I'm going to have hot dog with eye of newt.
Yeah, you've been, I've been hearing you're on a hot dog streak lately.
He really is.
The words I think out, you might need to slow down.
I tweeted about it. Didn't you see my tweet?
I'm worried about you.
Well, I went to the doctor and he was like, your cholesterol's a little high. Let me see you in 3 months. And then I went back and he's like, number's dropping. And in my head, I'm like, I'm good to go then.
Hot
I'm back on the hot dog train.
I saw the witch doctor. Yeah. He told me what to do.
You're
he
probably
said,
right, though.
Eat some hot dogs. Ting tang, wada wada hot dog.
I think it's funny too because I made a joke about like I had some brats and I was eating a bunch of brats and I tweeted, I eat two brats in the morning, I eat two not brats at night, I eat two brats in the afternoon, it makes me feel all right. Yes. A play on Sublime's two joints.
Of course.
And my buddy Joe commented and he was like, you keep eating like that, your doctor's gonna have a problem. And sure fucking enough, a month later I go to the doctor, he's like, what have you been eating? It's like, not two brats in the morning, not two brats at night,
not two brats in the afternoon, it makes me feel like I'm going to die.
All right, let's take a little break. Yeah. And then we'll come back. We've got a couple no notes here before we get into our second round of trivia with Kyle Ann.
Oh yeah.
We're back and it's time for some no notes.
Kyle Ann fucked up.
I did.
I actually got it that time. I was like, maybe we'll all get it, but nope. Maybe next time.
I was just thinking about the last time I did that and I messed it up really bad loudly and I laughed. So
perfect.
We got a no note here from Kevin Hunt on Discord who writes, I forgot if you guys have mentioned it previously in the Gross Michelle discussions, but it was essentially, that's the banana, by the way, that I mentioned in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was essentially replaced by Cavendish bananas because Gross Michelle pretty much got wiped out by Panama disease, which basically infected all the cropland that was in use. A newer strain of Panama disease is now trying to wipe out Cavendish. So it's possible we just might not have bananas in wide use for a while. Isn't that a scary thought?
That is scary.
No bananas.
I like bananas.
I don't like bananas, so it's fine. Well, I like banana bread.
Well, there you go. You will feel the impact.
I make really good banana bread pancakes.
Not for long, because of Panama disease.
And we had Adam and Elise, Adam in our Discord server and Elise on our Facebook page, say that you were probably thinking of perineum, which is correct.
And instead of the pouch of Douglas. But the perineum even is not a female specific thing. Men have the perineum too, the gooch.
Yes.
I think the pouch of Douglas is like a internal thing.
Yes,
also.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
not,
yeah.
It's not on the outside, it's like the gooch. But Parabellum, that is the subtitle for John Wick 3. Easy mistake to make there. Yes,
absolutely.
All right. If you'd like to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no-note, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com is the email address, or call us at 1-929-356-6966. We have not had a phone call in a while.
Yeah, what the fuck? Wow. Where's Jeopardy Man?
Yeah, where's Jeopardy? Where is Jeopardy Man?
Someone bring me Jeopardy Man.
Bring me the skull of Jeopardy Man. No, bring me a second question. Wait, I'm bringing you, a second
bring
question.
You bring me a second question.
It is my turn to ask you a question first.
Do it.
You do. Famous characters. My next category for you guys. Mm-hmm. What famous British protagonist was previously conceived by video game developers Core Design to have South American origins? What famous British protagonist was previously conceived by video game developers Core Designs to have South American origins?
I'm trying to think of like British video game characters, and nothing is coming to mind.
British video game character?
Mm-hmm.
The Witcher?
Is he British?
I have no idea.
It's a British... No, he's not. It's a British character, and... British. Is there any like
British?
He's British.
Is Kano from Mortal Kombat?
He's Australian.
Okay. Wrong accent.
Close. God, there's this killer video of the guy. Neither of you watch Letterkenny. There's a character on there. And
he's going with it anyway.
I am, because I know our listeners watch it. Because
I watched
our
the first season.
Okay, well, you know the guy who plays McMurray.
What does he look like?
He's got a white shirt on, really tight. He's the one that walks up next to Wayne, and he's talking about Bieber eyes.
Okay, vaguely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're having this rapid fire questions thing with actors from Letterkenny, and in it, they were like, what do you think is the sexiest accent? And he's like, well, which one do you want me to, depends on which one you want me to do. And he goes on to do a variety of British accents, Scottish accent, Irish accent, South African accent, and he nails them all. It's so fucking good.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll have to find it and post it, but it was really impressive. All right. Holy shit. British video game character, Mario?
Mario isn't British. I'm actually thinking, is there any British, like, is Wario?
It's hard to do a Mario, but with a British accent. It's me, Mario.
I'm just going to assume this is a game that I haven't played. Have I played this game?
We're just going to ask
just
all
tell
these
me
questions.
If I played it.
Does it come? Just tell me if I played it. All right, look.
You know I can't give you any extra information.
Hitman?
Is he British?
I don't know, Kyle. I don't play video games.
I'm the Hitman.
Maybe he is British.
Well, he just made fun of it, so probably not.
Okay.
Video game characters. South African origins.
South American.
South American. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's different.
Yeah. And then who's the game developer again?
Core Design.
Core Design.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I have no... I'm just trying to think of a character, a video game character that could potentially be British.
What about God of War? I'm like literally just thinking of big video games I know of.
Yeah, what about
Sonic the Hedgehog?
What about Assassin's Creed?
That's good. Assassin's Creed's good.
Is he British? But I know there's like, well, one of them took place in...
Is it character's name or the name of the video game?
The protagonist is, the famous character is the category.
Is his name Creed? Assassin's Creed, a.k.a. Scott Stapp.
It's great to be king.
Assassin's Creed. I wish we could find Creed's assassin. Am I right? Monkey, no.
I don't know, man. In British characters.
I want to pay to have Creed assassinated.
Are you talking about the actor from The Office? You really don't like that show, huh?
Oh, no, he's fine.
He's Creed fine.
Breton or whatever.
Yeah, what's his name?
He's funny.
He is.
Yeah, I feel like I'm missing a big one here that I can't think of.
Moana.
I'm even thinking of like video games that I play, which are only like basically only Final Fantasy.
So many Final Fantasies.
There aren't any British characters.
This one's real though. 14. This is the Final Fantasy. Bullshit.
Well, you know why they named it that, right?
I heard and I stopped remembering.
They thought it was going to be the last game that they made.
They were like about to go bankrupt. Right, yeah. But this is our last one.
But then,
they didn't expect it to be a hit. So they were like, this will be our Final Fantasy that we make as a company.
Okay. I think I got it. Is it Zelda? Ooh. She has a British accent.
Zelda's a man. Or no, Link is a man.
Yeah.
Zelda's a woman.
So it's probably not right because she's technically not British. She's Hyrulean, but she has a British accent in Breath of the Wild.
She was originally going to be South American.
That can't be true. I don't have any better guess.
Princess
though.
Peach. Let's say The Witcher.
Okay.
Let's say The Witcher.
Wrong. No. Where is The Witcher's from, like Nilbarg or something?
Isn't it supposed to be like Scandinavia?
The character is Polish in origin. Okay. Or like the story itself is Polish in origin.
Sounds like one of those names that is just like someone's name backwards.
Kano was supposed to be Japanese American in the original game. The actor who played him in the first movie tried to do a Cockney accent, which fans mistook as Australian and started calling him Australian, so they retconned the character to be Australian.
Okay.
The protagonist I'm thinking of was originally named Lara Cruz.
Lara
Croft.
Okay.
Lara Croft is the answer.
All right.
God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I have played that game. Damn it.
I have played that game, and I had the guns on my thighs.
Yeah, they were like, make her more British. And so they opened up a phone book and went to the CRs because there was already Cruz. They were like, oh, Croft is kind of close. So, yeah, close to having American Tomb Raider.
That would be cool.
Yep, in another universe.
I totally get it. They probably wanted to make her like a female James Bond kind of.
The first character model looks kind of Latin. She's got dark hair, yeah. Kind of tan skin.
All right, here's a question for you. What are the five traditional positions in basketball? Did I ask this?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Well, no idea, because I don't know anything about sports. Is it forward?
Yes.
And backward?
No.
Sideward? Leftward and rightward?
Power forward?
Center? That's one of them, right? Center? Mm-hmm.
Center, forward, power forward.
Diagonal.
Guard and power guard?
Parabellum.
Perineum.
We did just watch Space Jam and New Legacy. Know. They did not mention the positions. They had some charts, but they didn't have any.
Is it like
positions.
Center, forward? Is there like
guard.
Offense? Guard?
Mm-hmm.
Offense?
No. No.
I don't know. I don't know shit, babe. About basketball, I mean.
I think there's. Why am I thinking power forward and power guard? Are those
power real? Bottom?
Are those real?
Power top.
Those are not in. That's a different game. Power forward and power guard. You don't know. You have no idea.
I have nothing to offer.
Short guard?
Short stop.
Short forward? That doesn't make any sense.
Tall forward.
I think we're going to go with center, forward, guard, power forward. I doubt that coming, even as it's coming out of my mouth.
Power bottom.
And power guard. Those are the five we're going with.
That's incorrect.
Pretty close, though. Where did I get power forward from?
Point guard.
Point
guard. Shooting guard. Power forward.
Whoa, all right.
Small forward.
All right.
And center.
Okay. Not too bad. No. Not right.
It's funny either. That the one you were laughing about and were convinced was definitely not an answer in power forward.
Yeah,
was right.
I guess it's kind of like the other, because the others are generic. So I assume those were right because they're generic.
Right.
You know, and then I don't know. Now I know.
Kyle, do you? What were they?
Center, forward. Wait, so center, power forward. Defensive guard?
Nope.
No?
Now I know. Wait,
hold on. hold on.
Oh, no.
Shit. Yeah, I already forgot.
Small forward. Power forward. Small forward. Shooting guard. Point guard.
Center. Shooting guard. Point guard. Small forward. Power forward. Center.
Think of small forward and later. Power forward as the
big
top and the
little,
bottom.
Yeah.
And then the center is the big one. That's Shaq.
All right.
Babe,
yes.
Whose turn is it?
Yes, babe.
It's babe's turn.
Okay.
Babe.
My small forward.
B-E-B. Babe. Wow. Lee's the power forward in the relationship. That's how we should start doing five person relationships where everybody has a role. Oh,
yeah,
we're the center of the relationship.
I'm the point guard.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's up?
All right. Okay. Matelotage, as it's pronounced in French.
Oh, no. I already am lost.
Matelotage was a French term used to describe what legal practice, which was very common among sailors and pirates during the 17th and 18th century.
One more time.
Matelotage or matelotage was a French term used to describe what legal practice, which was very common amongst sailors and pirates during the 17th and 18th century.
Can you,
spell
that?
Legal process?
Legal practice.
Practice. Metlatage.
Can you spell it?
M-A-T-E-L-O-T-A-G-E. Metlatage or metlatage.
Look, you're covering your mouth like, oh my.
I came across this fun fact while I was researching pirates for Twitch trivia.
Well, sabotage is to like mess something up.
But it's G-E. This is J-E, I think.
Oh,
right.
GE.
Oh, it is GE. Okay, my bad. How about mutiny?
That's where I was thinking too. To call that a legal practice,
I mean,
it's the only thing that, like, I mean, it's saying illegal. It's illegal, you know, would indicate that it's a legal practice. And I could see like that being legal because it's like, you know, if you're out to sea. And everybody agrees that the captain is about to fuck everybody over.
You get kicked out.
Should be yeah, like, it's legal.
Yep.
It's a legal practice. I like it.
We're going to say mutiny.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Ah, fuck!
Wrong.
The correct answer is same-sex civil union.
Oh,
matelotage.
Yes. Matelotage.
We should have sussed that a little deeper.
Yes.
And like menage a trois.
Yes. Matelotage is French for seamanship.
Oh, menage, yeah. Trois is three.
Yes.
Seamanship.
an economic partnership, matelots would agree to share their incomes and inherit their partner's property in the case of their death. In addition, they would pledge to protect and fight alongside each other in battle and otherwise act in each other's interests. While often interpreted as a platonic form of mutual insurance, many historians believe that mettletage would be much more accurately compared to same-sex marriage. In the male-dominated world of piracy, homosexuality was very common. A union such as mettletage may have acted as a manner of validating relationships that would otherwise have been considered against contemporary societal norms. Another allusion to mettletage's true significance was the disapproval it was shown by colonial authorities. For example, in 1645, Governor of Tortuga requested to the French government that female prostitutes be sent to the island, supposedly in order to deter mettletage among the buccaneers.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
Wow.
I had no idea.
Damn.
Seamanship.
Seamanship.
I wonder if it was like an economic thing, too. Like, they didn't want them, like, you know, unifying their economic power, the pirates. You know, it's like, oh, if we, you know, throw these women at them, then that'll keep them busted up, you know, and they'll
keep them busting up. Then, yeah, that's for sure.
They're busting.
They're busting all over the place.
All right. Rock gods is the category. I don't know if I like that category name, actually. We'll just call this rock formations.
Okay.
All right.
Uluru, the world's largest monolithic rock formation, can be found on which continent? Uluru. U-L-U-R-U. Uluru.
Happens to me all the time. Well, it sounds pretty African.
I feel like I read somewhere that I think I may have read about this recently, and I think it's Australia.
Okay.
I could be wrong, though.
That could be, that sounds like it could be very, where they do the Maori.
Yeah. I mean, Maori is mostly,
New Zealand.
New Zealand, but it is Australia too. Yeah, I think it's Australia.
We're going to say Australia. Can't wait to spin that keyboard around.
Hey! That's right. Australia is correct. Yeah, Uluru. I can't run anything past you. You've read it all.
I've been writing a lot of trivia lately.
Yep, Uluru is taller than the Eiffel Tower. Aboriginal people have called the area home for over 30,000 years. According to archaeological records, it has 2 UNESCO World Heritage listings. Despite its massive size, though, it's worth noting almost 2/3 of the rock is located underground. So it's a bit of a rock iceberg, a rockberg, if you will.
All right, here's my next question. What was the last name of Alice, the housekeeper in the Brady Bunch?
I don't know why I want to say, like, Tuttle or something.
Your guess is as good as mine.
I could be. I think it's like 3 syllables, though. I think it's like
Brady.
I think it's Alice, like, Littleton or something.
Alice Littleton Tuttle.
I don't remember. It's been so long since I watched the Brady Bunch. I used to watch it at Nick at Night a lot when I was a kid.
I've only seen a handful of episodes, and it was when I was a kid.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Nick at Night. I used to like watching I Love Lucy and the Brady Bunch with my Aunt Margie.
Well, what do you think? Tuttle? Littleton? I have no idea.
Haversham or something? Haversham? Alice Haversham? That can't be right.
Frembersham?
I mean, I would literally be guessing. It's not even at the tip of my brain. Like, no. Alice, I feel like it's like 3 syllables. I guess.
Anderson.
You know, that kind of rings a bell.
Got a, you know, double A.
Alice Anderson. That kind of sounds familiar.
An alliterative name. I mean, that was just a total pulling that out of the air.
Henderson. I think it might be Henderson.
Alice Henderson?
I think it's Henderson.
That's a pretty basic middle American name for the Brady Bunch.
I could be. I'm probably totally wrong here, but that feels right.
Sure, it's not like Harry and the Hendersons is what you're thinking of?
No.
We'll go with Henderson.
That's incorrect.
Yeah.
Wrong.
The correct answer is Alice Nelson.
Nelson.
Oh, okay. Not terribly far off with Henderson.
Okay.
A different son. Son of Nell.
Yeah.
Instead of son of Pender.
From give me a break. Give me the break. Nil from give me the break.
All right.
Last question.
All right.
Of the round.
Modern art.
Mo-art. Mort.
The Seiko was a functional art piece created during the Italian modernist movement by three Italian designers in 1968. It was featured in museums such as the MoMA and the Guggenheim, but is best known as what popular household object that is still used today?
The Seiko?
The Seiko.
The Seiko?
Mm-hmm. S-A-C-C-O.
The Seiko. Those veins are coming up.
Well, that's funny because when I heard Seiko, there is a clock, like a clock or watch company called Seiko, but they pronounce it, or they spell it S-E-I-K-O.
Right.
Now, they may have changed the spelling so it looked more, it was more homophonic.
What, I mean, is there anything like unique about the Seiko clock? Because this sounds, I mean, it was displayed in MoMA.
It might be the look of it.
You
know what I mean? Like an 80s look or something, like 70s look or
Can
something.
Can we hear the question one more time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of details.
The Seiko was a functional art piece created during the Italian modernism movement by three Italian designers in 1968. It was featured in museums such as the MoMA and the Guggenheim, but is best known as what popular household object that is still used today?
Popular household object.
Mm-hmm.
Functional.
Mm-hmm. A functional art piece.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still functional in the house? Must be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to double down on my answer.
You think it's a clock?
I mean, Seiko, just the fact that Seiko is the name of a watch or clock company, it's just like sticking in my craw, as it were.
I just, what's holding me up about it is that clocks were around before the 70s, you know, so this would have to be like a notable clock that then everybody still alarm has in clock? Their house.
No, they were around before that.
Yeah.
Digital clock?
I think, I don't know, it'd be more likely to be like a sundial or something, you know, but I don't think that's
I am going to say at the time when it was invented, it was considered like a functional art piece. It's definitely not viewed that way today.
You know, doorbell.
That's a very
ding dong.
That's very
like at the time it was like, yeah, like this is a really cool hip thing.
Whoa. Like a dumb waiter.
Lazy Susan.
Functional art piece, no longer a thing. Household item.
Popular household item, still used today. A toaster. Vertical toaster? Like maybe they just had toaster ovens before that? Pop-up toaster.
Household.
How crazy is it that the toast pops up? It's art.
Do you remember the short story, There Will Come Soft Rains?
Mm-mm.
It's about an automated house that is like doing all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
but all the inhabitants of the house are dead. And it's like everything is going through like it normally would. The people, but I think it's like after like a nuclear explosion.
Sounds like some Philip K. Dick type stuff or something.
I think it's Bradbury, a Disney movie. Maybe?
It's called Smart House.
Well, it was a book.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's
directed by Geordie LaForge himself.
LaVar.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
He directed that movie.
I think he's hosting Jeopardy this week.
He is.
Oh.
Props to
the people are getting their way.
LaVar.
Yeah. That's democracy in action, baby.
Pop-up toaster.
Sure, toaster.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Oh, surprise.
Okay. Jeez.
No, it was just frustrating because we didn't know. I was just going with anything.
I was looking for the beanbag chair.
Oh, okay. Functional art piece.
It was considered a functional art piece when it was developed. It was like, it was like the peak, like peak mod architecture, you know? And it was like very, like, this is what a revolutionary new fucking chair, you know? Like,
All right.
Sacco.
Johnny Sacco.
Like a big old sack. Sack of nuts.
All right.
Okay. Well, here's another question for you.
I thought those alligators nuts.
Man, it looks like an alligator nuts.
There we go. All right. On that note,
the avocado, of course.
Yes. On that note, let's take a little break, and then we'll be back with another Rate My Question from Tim Gomez coming right up. Back with a Rate My Question. Okay, we're hearing again here from Tim Gomez. We're hearing again here.
What?
This is what happens when I don't have it scripted out, man. It's going off the cuff. Here we are with another email from Tim Gomez, aka Mappy 1984. Tim writes, I'm back at it again with this attempt to appease our benevolent quizmasters. I'm curious to see if you feel this question's clue is too cute for its own good, or if it works as an effective hint. Here's the question. Proving he didn't need to kidnap the princess to get ahead, what is the surname of the man who succeeded Nintendo of America President Reggie Fils-Aimé in 2019?
Wait, what? Can you repeat that?
Proving he didn't need to kidnap the princess to get ahead, what is the surname of the man who succeeded in Nintendo of America President Reggie Fils-Aimé in 2019?
What? I don't understand that question.
Yeah, I don't really either.
Yeah, so that's exact. I think Tim's intuition here is right. Like the clue is a little too cute for its own good.
Fils-Aimé.
That's his hyphenated last name.
Okay.
Yes. So the former Nintendo of America president is named Reggie Fils-Aimé, and there's a new person who has what surname? And the clue is proving he didn't need to kidnap the princess to get ahead. What is the surname of the man who succeeded Nintendo of America president Reggie Fils-Aimé in 2019?
Oh, it's Bowser.
Yes, that's right. I don't need to look that up. I also know it is Bowser. His name is Doug Bowser.
I actually read this when I was researching Nintendo trivia.
You could also say Reggie's wife also says Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Fils-Aimé.
When they have sex.
Reggie Fils-Aimé. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right for that joke to have maximum effectiveness.
Like she's Italian.
Yeah.
So, like my British Mario earlier.
Right. Yeah. So what do you think of this question?
I'm going to give it a C.
Yeah. For cute? Cute hint?
No.
No?
I mean, it just needs a major rewrite. It's great. It's good information. That's keeping it from getting anything lower.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just too complicated. It's too cute for its own good.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Kyle?
Yeah, I
You can't do the motherfucker scale because John Davis did it last week.
He asked permission if he can borrow my scale. Yeah, I know, but it's a new episode. But it's my scale. I am the motherfucker queen. Okay, I am.
You hate when we do the motherfucker voice.
Well, I've embraced it. Okay, it's a part. Everybody
she doesn't want to take it away. I don't like it, but I don't want to take it away.
It is what it is. People seem to think it's funny, even though I'm embarrassed. But whatever. So, yeah, it was. I was thinking maybe it's just pregnant brain fog. But like, if you were having trouble, kind of diluting what the question actually was. It could be deducing. A little bit. See, pregnant brain fog, whatever. So yeah, deducing what the actual question was. Once he asked it, like I get the hint. I'll give it 3.5 out of 5 motherfuckers, just because it wasn't very clear. So,
Little Zerber was the half.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's, you know, it's an interesting question.
I'm going to give this a pibs, little S on the end, because it does need a rewrite. I think it's as you anticipated, Tim. I like what you did with it. I see where you're going with it, but it just doesn't work here. It just needs to be simplified. I would simply say, oh, and also I don't like the word proving in this context, because just because his name is Bowser and he got the job as president doesn't mean he wouldn't kidnap a princess. We don't know this guy.
Right.
You know, it doesn't prove anything. So I would just say, what villainous Nintendo character shares a name with the man who succeeded Nintendo of America president, Reggie Fils-Aimé, in 2019?
I would not have the Reggie Fils-Aimé thing at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because referring to Mario, I kept thinking like a Mario. Like I kept thinking it was like a play on that or whatever. And no one, I don't think anybody really knows the name of the president before that.
Reggie, no, you're wrong about that. Like Reggie was a big, like he was like the face of Nintendo of America for like 10 years. He was in like all of the Treehouse E3 presentations. Okay. If you are a Nintendo fan, you knew Reggie because he was the guy who was talking to the fans every year saying what games are, he introduced like the Wii, the Wii U, maybe even the GameCube. So the it was kind of a big deal when he retired.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah.
But I don't know that it's necessary for the question.
Yeah.
Because Doug Bowser, obviously, when he took over, that made tons of news.
Right.
And so you don't need Reggie, really. I mean, I hate to say that the Reggie part is almost outdated, but that was in 2019. Bowser's had his time in the sun now.
Yeah.
And it's not necessary to figuring out the answer. So
for me, as a not knowing much about video games, it confused me. His name alone confused me.
Yeah.
For whatever it's worth. Maybe I'm just a dum-dum.
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think you're just a dum-dum. I think this question could just be simplified a little bit.
Yes.
If I was to read it, I would probably just say, what villainous Nintendo character? That way, also, you're removing, like, if you say they're kidnapping the princess, the answer is only Bowser. That's the only answer that people are going to come with. Mm-hmm. If you say villainous, you could have Wario, Waluigi, any of these other, like, villainous characters.
Or last name shares a name.
How crazy would it be if his name was Wario?
I mean, just as fucking weird as Bowser. I mean, Bowser's a weird fucking last name.
Yeah, but Wario is so close to Mario. I mean, that would be like, you know, I'm resetting the system here.
I might even just set the question up as the president from this year to this year shared a name with what popular Nintendo character or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like
that. He's still actively the president.
Oh, well, then fine. You know what I mean.
I'm just clarifying for our listeners, you know.
From then to
now.
Don't
get us miscorrected here. All right. Thank you so much, Tim, for this question and last week's question as well.
Yes.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a missed correction or a no note, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, the email address, or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Ladies first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ms. Kyle.
We're here in the home stretch now.
Mrs. Kyle.
All right. So this question's kind of a mouthful, but I think all the details are necessary.
if you say so.
This is comic strips.
Okay.
Is the category.
Hang on. Oh, she's getting comfortable for this. It's going to be a 5-minute question.
I don't think we've gotten one of Kyle's right yet, have we?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
Which iconic comic strip character has separate and completely unrelated American and Scottish versions, despite sharing the same name, both of which coincidentally debuted on the same day in March of 1951.
Wait, what? They have there's a Scottish version and
an American version.
And they're completely unrelated.
And by coincidence, they both debuted on the same day in March of 1951.
Debuted.
The American version of which spawned both live action and animated TV shows, as well as several feature films.
Dennis the Menace. Or Dilbert? No, that's not 1951.
My first... I don't think it'll fit with everything. My first thought was Hagar.
I was thinking that too.
Because Scottish, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Is Hagar a real figure of mythology?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because that would make sense how you'd have two independent creations.
Right.
If it was based on, like, you know, could be Ziggy based on the immortal god Ziggy.
The immortal goddess Kathy.
Arg!
1951.
Handicaps wearing that, like, plaid hat.
Mm. Yeah, but feature-length films.
He's always getting drunk.
So we've got to think of, I think one of the big things here is we got to think of comic books,
comic strips
mm-hmm. that have turned into feature-length movies.
Right.
Garfield. Mm-hmm. 1951.
Mm-mm. Peanuts.
Peanuts. A definite possibility.
A Scottish version of Peanuts? Mm-hmm. I've never seen it.
We've probably never seen any of this.
Right, but Hagar, I could understand why I haven't seen that. You know, but Peanuts is so big. You'd think that there would be like, you know, like It's Always Sunny in Moscow. You know, it's such
Doonesbury.
A big show.
Doonesbury. It's not been a movie.
Ah, yes, think. The Scottish political comic strip, Doonesbury. McDoonesbury.
Family Circus.
That's one that two people could independently create. You know, a family circle comic strip.
Dennis the Menace is a good guess. Dennis the Guesses.
1950s comic strips. Dick Tracy? Could be a dramatic strip like that.
For better or worse. Mm-hmm. Thinking of all these weird
ass High and comics. Lois. Zits. Get Fuzzy. The Lockhorns.
I loved the Lockhorns when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
This is what marriage is like, huh? Looks fucking miserable. These two people hate each other.
Yeah, the whole premise of that strip is basically just spouses roasting each other constantly. Yeah. Like, every strip is just a savage roast.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes about the roast.
Mm-hmm.
If it's dinner time. Let's go Dennis. Isn't Dennis a Scottish name?
Mm.
Dennis son of Dennis.
Oh, Dennis son.
If your credit's no good here, you can't get credit anywhere.
You'd
believe that.
Yeah, we'll go with Dennis the Menace.
That's correct.
Oh! Hey!
You guys got one. Yeah, so I was watching Drag Race UK, and I guess the challenge was the queens had to dress in an outfit, a drag outfit that was inspired by their hometown. And one of the drag queens was from Dundee, Scotland, where Dennis the Menace, like the creator lived of Dennis, the Scottish Dennis the Menace. And like the drag queen came out and I was like, that drag queen looks nothing like Dennis the Menace. So I like looked it up and it turns out that, yeah, there is a Scottish version of Dennis the Menace. And like there's also an American version, and they apparently like do not like have not spoken to each other. Don't know. Like they just both came up with this character of Dennis the Menace. That is completely different, to be fair. I guess the Dennis the Menace in Scotland is like an actual like a bully type character, like a mean kid. Whereas and has like a sidekick that's like, I think like a mean cat sidekick, or it could be a dog. I don't remember. Whereas, as we all know, Dennis the Menace in American comics is like kind of this little cute kid who kind of accidentally fucks people's lives up.
He's mischievous,
he's like but he's Simpson not mean spirited.
Yeah, he's not malicious.
Yeah, whereas Dennis the Menace in Scotland is malicious. And yeah, I just thought that was crazy. And it debuted on the same day. Like,
it's yeah, just, that is really bizarre.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, yeah.
That is fucking crazy.
Ah, well, we got one. I can relax a little bit now.
Father and son Don and Dan Nichols were dubbed the Mountain Men by news organizations after abducting athlete Carrie Swenson who was famous in what then soon to be a winter Olympic sport? Father and son Don and Dan Nichols were dubbed the Mountain Men by news organizations after abducting athlete Kerry Swenson, who was famous in what then soon to be winter Olympic sport.
No year given.
You want a year?
Yes.
I would love one.
Start sussing now. I'll give you a year in a minute.
Snowboarding. If the year lines up.
Could be snowboarding.
If he says 1943 or something like that.
That would make sense. Would they would like abduct her like on a mount from a mountain.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Winter mountain sports. Yeah.
1984.
So I don't know when snowboarding was made a winter sport in the Olympics.
I want to say the 90s.
Yeah, that seems a little early.
Mm-hmm. But maybe it
maybe
was...
it's like the ski jump. Wasn't that older? Skiing.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Skiing, I see those being already in the Olympics because they're just old activities. You know?
Well, he like, did say soon to be Olympic sport. So maybe it is snowboarding.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, all cross-country skiing and slalom and all that stuff, like, people have been doing that for hundreds yeah. of years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure those were early Olympics, but snowboarding.
There's some really weird sports, Olympic sports. I was just reading about this for trivia, except I was looking at summer sports, not winter. So, did you know there's Olympic trampoline?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, summer Olympics.
Curling, ice hockey.
They're called the Mountain Men.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think maybe it's rock climbing?
Doesn't, is that winter?
Right. It doesn't seem like it would be a winter sport, but like.
No. Even if it's cold, you want to do that probably in the summer when there's less snow.
Yeah,
like,
I guess you're.
Be a glutton for punishment.
Unless it's like outdoor mountain climbing. Well, I guess even then it would need to be not cold.
Oh, so you're saying like bouldering or something like that, like rock climbing?
Yeah, like you like ice climbers, mm-hmm. like in that video game? I don't know.
Let's go with snowboarding.
Yeah, let's go with snowboarding.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Wrong. The correct answer? The biathlon.
Hmm.
Okay.
So that's what? Biking and running?
Nope.
No?
Biking and running in winter? Interesting.
Well, what that's do you do an in interesting. You're not swimming.
No, you're not. You're skiing and shooting.
Skiing and shooting, okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Biathlon. You ski
and then you shoot.
Get down on the ground, mm-hmm. you gotta ease your breath and shoot. There's a very, very great 30 for 30 documentary where they talk to her about her getting abducted. She was going out to train. These two dudes basically stopped her and kept her overnight. Of course, there was a giant party looking out for her. And one of them shot her, and she said, you know, when you ski, you're skiing, you're breathing really heavy, and when you have to shoot, you have to, like, get down on your belly and shoot, and you have to work on slowing your breathing down so you can aim. So she said she was very practiced in going from, like, to and slowing down. She was able to slow her breathing down, which kept her blood from rapidly gushing out
wow.
and keeping herself... So she was able to live through
That's
it.
That's amazing.
And a friend of hers who came upon their encampment wasn't so lucky. He was shot, and one of her best friends.
Aww.
And yeah, very, very crazy story. The 30 for 30, I'll try and find it. But if you look for 30 for 30 and Kerry Swenson, you'll find it's a very, very insane story. Very good.
Wow. Wow.
All right. One last question for y'all. World records. World records. Ashrita Furman is best known for holding what prolific record, for which he was first recognized in 1987 and maintains to this day?
What's his name?
Ashrita Furman is best known for holding what prolific record, for which he was first acknowledged in 1987 and maintains to this day.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
I see the world's shortest man.
No. 1987 and still alive. Oh, I mean, I'm not going to say no, but.
I mean, he said prolific record.
Yeah.
Is it prolific to be short? Like.
I'm going to rate this question a B plus, maybe.
Don't even know the answer yet.
Well, because it's so open-ended. It's like prolific record. It's like, holy shit. Like, could be eat the most onions. Eat
Can
the most
say
celery.
Say his name again?
Run the furthest.
Ashrita Furman.
Ashrita Furman.
Mm-hmm. Ashrita Furman.
Wasn't one of the cops that beat Rodney King the last name Furman?
I don't remember.
No, you're thinking of the cop that investigated the Nicole Brown Simpson murder. Yes. Mark Furman.
Any relation?
I don't believe so, but I did not look at the family tree.
I wonder if this record has anything to do with his name, which is why that's all that he told us is his name. I don't know. Maybe it's children. He has the most children.
Prolific.
But if he had the most children in 1987, and that's too many kids. Well, okay.
I mean, yeah. He just keeps pumping out kids.
I mean, I guess he could. He's a man.
Prolific. Most books written. Most songs written. Most poems written.
It could be anything.
It could be anything. Prolific is just like most chairs made. It could be anything built or written or sang or done. The only thing we have to go by is that maybe his name is arguably Indian or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a stab in the dark. Most babies? You're pregnant. Lee's going to try and break this guy's record. He's going to try and put 80 babies in you.
No, thank you. Never.
You've heard of 80s babies. Have you heard of 80 babies?
That's our new TLC show.
80 babies. You want to say babies?
We had 80 babies.
Let's just say baby. I don't know.
80s babies.
Wrong. Oh. No. There's two acceptable answers for this question. Either the most Guinness World Records broken, or the most Guinness World Records held. Ashrita Furman, the holder of the most Guinness World Records. He is a New York health food store manager that's broken over 600 Guinness World Records and currently holds over 200 records. The first record that he broke, 27,000 jumping jacks. He also walked the fastest mile on stilts in 12 minutes, 23 seconds. Most knives caught in 1 minute. With Bippin Larkin, 56 knives caught in 1 minute, as well as most Skittles thrown and caught with the mouth in 1 minute, 70 Skittles.
Guy. I don't want to hear anymore.
Also
about
with Bippin. most balloons right? inflated by the nose in 1 hour, 380 balloons in 1 hour through the nose. Most eggs balanced by an individual, 888 eggs. Ugh. The greatest distance juggling on a pogo
Please
stick.
Please stop. This could kill
four
me.
4 miles in 30 seconds.
It's like being under a pile of grandparents.
Listen to this one. Most electric fan blades stopped using the tongue in 1 minute.
God, 30 shut up.
Fan blades. Listen to this one, though. Most spears caught from a spear gun underwater. There's a video of this.
My
one.
Hell is me going, please stop. And then you going, one more, listen to this one. And then you say it. I go, please stop. And you go, one more, listen to this one. I'm like, okay, this now is, please stop. And you go, hold Mark, on, one more.
These are only 20 of I the know. 600 records that he's broken.
Imagine being such a pick-me-ass bitch.
Well, he is a meditation expert, apparently. Oh. So, he is also now one of the only individuals in the world to have broken a record on every single continent. and also to hold more than 100 at any given time. Fun additional fact, he's 4 days younger than the Guinness World Records book itself. He was born 4 days after its conception in September of 1954. Ashrita Furman. I was hoping maybe one day we could get him on the podcast, but it seems like you pretty much hate this guy, so.
I'd be like, why don't you just do other stuff with your life?
Well, this is what he's made of his life, you know? I mean, he...
Good for him.
So he was obsessed with the book as a kid, apparently, and thought, I'd like to break a record, but I'm not athletic enough. And then when he started meditating and doing, you know, that kind of stuff, his meditation teacher was like, no, you should just believe in yourself, you know, and train. And once he broke the first record, the 27,000 jumping jacks, that's when he was like, I can do anything now. 1987.
How do you feel about that guy?
Not good.
Yeah.
Wow. No respect for Ashrita. I'm here for you, man. If you're listening to Ashrita, I think it's impressive.
Someone tag Ashrita Furman.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Great for you. Hey,
that did not go over how I thought, but whatever. That is our quiz, everybody.
And Kyle, and not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Yeah, I guess so. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us once again on the No-No.
Will you consider giving birth live on the podcast?
Fuck no.
Okay. We can ask you questions under duress. You're pushing this baby out.
This is a new kind of hot ones.
A new kind of hot ones? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
We'll cover up your nether regions and... I can look the other way and be like, in 1972, and you're like, ah! And I'm like, what leader of the USSR?
Ah! Well, we'd consider that live streaming.
Sounds like a nightmare.
We'd consider live streaming it, but from what we've learned of the giraffe, probably not a good idea.
Yeah, fair enough.
Folks, be sure to join us tonight, Monday, July 26th, for another No Nonsense Trivia Challenge on Twitch. Questions written by Kyle Ann. Come hang out in the chat. Tell her you like the questions.
Do it.
Play the quiz. It's fun. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
Hold on. Seth will be covering for me on Wednesday this week. I'm just now realizing this will be coming out on Monday.
Right.
So Seth will be the guest.
Quizmaster.
The guest host.
All right. Mm-hmm.
At Nice Guys Pizza.
Indeed.
Right on. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Oh, did someone say Patreon?
I did.
Oh my god. I closed. Where in the hell am I? There we go. Because I had the wrong trivia thing open. Here we are. Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our quiz daddies, Adam Volk, Tim, Pat's Garden Service, and Tommy from the Electric Mud. Our team captains, Rick G, Skyler, Kristen, Fletcher, Dylan, Rachel, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, OG Aaron, David, Holbrook, and Gil.
It's Gil.
I like that one. Thanks to our Proverbial Lightkeepers, Rachel. Thank you, Rachel, for joining the Proverbial Lightkeeper crew.
Thank you.
Also, thank you to Moo, Tim Gomez, aka Mappy 1984, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Justin, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Mo, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John Lewis, Nabil, and Ricky F. And Kyle was enthralled. She was enraptured.
So enthralled.
And thanks to our Rumble Snailskins, H Bomb, Lauren, MJ, Steven, Kenya, the We Do Stuff people, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Michael C,
Mike Cruz,
Michael J,
Mike 27,000 Jumping Jacks,
Michael K, Michael Knife Catch.
There you go.
Nice. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com is the email address. 1-929-356-6966 is the phone number. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget, oh, thank you to Fro.
Yes, thanks Fro and MJ.
And MJ.
For leaving us Podchaser
Leaving us some Podchaser reviews. We appreciate you both. Be like Fro. Be like MJ. Leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please.
Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.